Today on Life Talk.
Now, by that blood, not just a high priest once a year, but anyone who calls on him and puts their faith in him can enter into the holy place, into my presence, and ultimately into heaven, because now he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and his shed blood has made a way for you to go where nobody could go before.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
Hello, dear friends, and welcome to this edition of Life Talk, where we've been in an exciting journey through the book of Hebrews. As we closed out chapter 8 in our last time together, we saw that the new covenant Jesus cut with us, written in the ink of his own precious blood, made the old covenant under Moses with all the sacrifices and the rituals obsolete. This was really tough for the Jews of Jesus' day to accept, and so the writer of Hebrews is targeting them with this very lengthy letter where over and over again, he shows how Jesus and the new covenant are better than the old covenant. And as we begin chapter 9, the writer starts by describing the Old Testament tabernacle that Moses built in the wilderness under God's direction. And we're going to see that everything about it was only a type and shadow, pointing forward to the coming of Jesus Christ and the real eternal tabernacle in heaven. I believe this is really going to bless you today, so let's jump right in as I share the message, the greatness of Jesus' sacrifice. Well, we're continuing the book of Hebrews, and tonight we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 9, and boy, it is powerful. It's talking about the greatness of Jesus' sacrifice. You know, if there's ever a time we need to hear the Word of God, it's now. The Word of God builds our faith. The Word of God fills and feeds our spirit. And if ever there was a season in your life and mine where we needed to be getting the Word of God, that manna from heaven, every single day, it is now. And so I'm so thrilled to be able to bring to you our continuing series in the book of Hebrews. And keep in mind, the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people who had grown up under Moses and the Mosaic system, the tabernacle, the temple, the rituals, the sacrifices. This was their DNA, and now Jesus has come, and now the writer of Hebrews is writing this letter. Primarily, his target audience is the Jewish people who had indeed come up under Moses, and he's telling them in so many different ways how much better the new covenant under Jesus Christ is. He's telling them we have a better blood, a better covenant, a better mediator, better this, better that, better the other. It's just better. Matter of fact, if you'll remember, better is the key word that sums up the book of Hebrews. So we're going to look tonight at the greatness of Jesus' sacrifice. Now, as we closed out chapter 8 last time, we saw that Jesus' sacrifice and his subsequent new covenant, written in his own blood, made the old covenant under Moses with all the sacrifices and rituals obsolete. Verse 13 in chapter 8 says, in that he says a new covenant, he has made the first covenant, the old rituals, the Mosaic system, obsolete. Now, what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Now, for the Jewish people of the first century, this was a shocking thing to hear. And it was very offensive to many of them, but it was true. The old system had been made obsolete by the blood of Jesus shed on Calvary's cross. And so in chapter 9, the writer begins, and I hope you have your Bible with you. Grab that Bible there in your living room and your office, wherever you happen to be. Grab your Bible and turn with me to Hebrews 9. I really want you to follow along, and let's just do a good old-fashioned Bible study. Now, in chapter 9, the writer begins by describing the Old Testament tabernacle Moses built in the wilderness under God's direction. So the next verses we're going to read, he's describing the layout of this tabernacle that they built in the wilderness. He says in verse 1, chapter 9, book of Hebrews, "Now in that first agreement," but a better word here is covenant, "in that first covenant between God and his people, there were rules for worship, and there was a sacred tent." That's what the tabernacle was. It was a great big tent down here on earth. Inside this place of worship, the tabernacle, the great big tent, there were two rooms. The first one contained the golden candlestick and a table with special loaves of holy bread upon it. And this part was called the holy place. We've heard about this, the holy place, and then we're going to read a minute about the Holy of Holies. But this is the holy place. Verse 3, "Then there was a curtain, and this curtain separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. And in that room," verse 4, "there were a golden incense altar and the golden chest called the Ark of the Covenant, completely covered on all sides with pure gold." What a beautiful thing. Covered on all sides with pure gold. "And inside this ark were some key things. The tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments written on them were placed in this ark, with a golden jar with some manna in it." So we have first the Word of God represented in the ark. And then we have God's provision manifested and kept in the ark. There was manna in a golden jar. And then there was Aaron's wooden cane that budded. And above the golden chest were statues of angels called the cherubim and the guardians of God's glory. And with their wings stretched out over the ark's golden cover, picture this beautiful thing, on top of the ark is these golden cherubims, and their wings are outstretched. And this was called the mercy seat. And the Shekinah glory of God dwelt in between these cherubim. Now the writer says, "Of these things we cannot now speak in detail." I'm not going to go into it in any more detail. I've told you all I need to tell you to set the stage for what I want to say. Verse 6, "Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priests always went into the first part," not the second part, but the first part of the tabernacle, "performing the services." Now notice the priests here is plural. Just the common priests every day went into this outer place, this holy place, but not into the Holy of Holies. And the Bible says they always went. And what that means is every day the priests, plural, went into the first tabernacle, the holy place, to do the service of God. Okay? Now the service of God that they performed included burning the incense at the morning and evening sacrifice. They kept the incense burning, dressing the lamps, and supplying the lamps with oil. They were tasked to never let the fire go out, never let the flame go out. So it was their job every day to be sure there was enough oil in those lamps. And then they changed the showbread every Sabbath morning, and so on and so forth. Now, next, he discusses the most sacred part of the tabernacle. And here is where it's really getting to where the writer is taking us in this chapter. The Holy of Holies and the job of the high priest only. He says in verse 7, "But into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sins committed in ignorance." Now notice what the requirement was for the high priest who went in only one time a year. So think about that. The holy place, the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where the glory of God dwelt, had one visit a year. That's it. And when this high priest went in, he was told, don't ever go in without blood. The high priest could not enter the place of God's presence without the shed blood of an animal. He was instructed to bring with him blood to sprinkle on top of that incredible mercy seat, and he brought the blood of a bull and he brought the blood of a goat, which he brought at two different times. Now, the first time he sprinkled the blood of the bull on the mercy seat for himself and for his family, For every priest called by God from among men was still a sinner himself. Now, again, the writer's going somewhere with this. He's showing us how the old system worked, and he's about to compare this priesthood with our great high priest, Jesus Christ, and how superior he is to the old priesthood, and how superior his blood is to the blood of bulls and goats. And so, first, the high priest went in to the Holy of Holies and had to sprinkle blood on this mercy seat for himself. So even the high priests were sinners. And then a second time, he brought the blood of a goat for the sins or the errors of the people. Now, the word translated into errors here means ignorance or involuntary error, and also included error or fault in general. Now, what he's saying here is that the shed blood covered the sins of the people they didn't even know they had committed. You know, one time David prayed, he said, "Lord, keep me back from presumptuous sin." There are times we mess up and we don't even know we messed up. Thank God the blood of Jesus covers that. But this was to take care of the sins that the people committed that they didn't even know they had committed. And so on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go in and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat to cover the sins they were not even aware they had committed, and also the ones they were aware they had committed. And this had to happen once every year, and this Mosaic system lasted 1,200 years. Think about how long that is. This system where a high priest walked into the Holy of Holies and sprinkled blood on the mercy seat was done 1,200 times 52. A lot of times. This ritual was done once a year on the Day of Atonement. The regular repetition of these sacrifices was a constant reminder of sin so that the priests could not lose sight of the fact that they also were the violators of the law of God. So every year he went in for 1,200 years.
We'll get back to Pastor Jeff in a moment to close out today's program. But first, I want to share something about our program. Our mission is actually very simple, to share the life-changing good news of Jesus Christ. So it's our prayer that these messages from Pastor Jeff aren't something you only listen to and enjoy, but that they inspire you to share with others. Together, we can do this. The message of the gospel is something everyone needs to hear, and that's why it's a priority to us. And you get to join us in this important mission. Call us at 877-884-3111 to say you're in, or drop us a line through our website, lifetalkradio.us. Well, here's Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
Next, the writer of Hebrews tells us what God was saying through all of this. In verse 8, he says, the Holy Spirit was indicating something, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. It was symbolic. This whole thing was symbolic for the present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which cannot make him who performed the service perfect in regard to the conscience. Concerned only with foods and drinks and various washings and fleshly ordinances imposed until the time of Reformation. Now, catch that. When the high priest went in and did this and on the Day of Atonement and sprinkled the blood, there's one crucial thing it could not do until Jesus came and shed his own blood. It could not get rid of their guilty conscience. That would take the blood of the Lamb. Entrance into the holiest of all symbolized direct access to God, and the way into it had not been made evident yet because Jesus had not yet come. You know, when Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me." Well, the way into what? Well, he is the way into the presence of God, into heaven. He's the way. And so this sacrifice, all that was going on every year, the Day of Atonement, when the high priest would go in and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, this all was pointing down the tunnel of time to the day that Jesus Christ would shed his own blood. It was a type. It was a shadow. It was sort of a signpost
pointing to what Jesus Christ would ultimately do. He, Jesus, is the new and the living way. Now, ultimately, the Holy of Holies was intended to symbolize, I believe, heaven, and how, because of sin, it was inaccessible to people. Look, nobody could go in there. What was God saying when he said, nobody can go into the Holy of Holies? The plural priests, the priests plural, can go into the holy place, but the people nor the regular priests can go into the Holy of Holies. It was totally sacred and special and untouchable. What was God saying? God was saying the Holy of Holies represented heaven, and he was telling the entire world, starting with the Jewish people, you cannot come into my presence without the shedding of blood. But during the Old Covenant, only the high priest can come in, and he alone can sprinkle blood on the mercy seat that covers the sins of the people. But the people can't go in. What was God saying? He was saying, the day for you to be able to come into the Holy of Holies, to enter into my presence, and ultimately to enter into heaven, is awaiting the arrival of my Son and his shed blood. And this is why we're told that the curtain in the temple, when Jesus died, when he gave up the ghost and died, saying it is finished, the Gospels record that the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies was ripped loudly by the powerful hand of God. This thing was about 6 inches thick, but it was ripped from top to bottom. And what was God saying? Now that the blood of Jesus has been shed, the Lamb of God, the ultimate Lamb of God, now by that blood, not just a high priest once a year, but anyone who calls on him and puts their faith in him can enter into the holy place, into my presence, and ultimately into heaven, because now he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life, and his shed blood has made a way for you to go where nobody could go before. That is incredible good news. And so now let's look at verse 11. He, Jesus, came as high priest of this better system that we now have. He went into that greater, now listen carefully to this, he went into that greater perfect tabernacle where? In heaven. Not made by men. This tabernacle, the old tabernacle, was put together by Moses under the instruction of God. Then the temple was built by Solomon under the instruction of God. But there is a tabernacle in heaven that man has had nothing to do with. It was built by God. And look what it says Jesus did. Verse 12, and once for all, Jesus took blood into that inner room, the Holy of Holies, and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. But it was not the blood of goats and calves. No, he took his own blood, and with it he, by himself, made sure of our eternal salvation. What an incredible, beautiful picture. When Jesus died, he said, it is finished. The veil was rent in half. Now we had access into the Holy of Holies and into heaven itself by his shed blood. Then he was buried in a borrowed tomb. And then on the third day, he got up from the dead. And after appearing to his disciples and to many people over a period of many, many days, Jesus lifted up his hands and his arms and ascended back into heaven in full view of the disciples. And what did he do when he got into heaven? He went into heaven, he marched into that heavenly tabernacle made by the hands of God, and he took his own shed blood to the mercy seat that is in heaven, and he sprinkled that shed blood on that mercy seat. What a picture. Never, never, never will there ever have to be the shed blood of another animal, of another goat, another lamb, another oxen, because Jesus marched his own blood into the tabernacle in heaven and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven. And that's why the Bible says, once for all, I love those words, once for all, Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice that will never, ever have to be made again. Next, the writer shows how Jesus' blood is far better and accomplishes far more than that of bulls and goats. Look at verse 13. And if under the old system, the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of young cows could cleanse men's bodies from sin, just think how much more surely the blood of Christ will transform our lives and hearts. Notice that word transform, because the new covenant doesn't just cover you to a point. The new covenant assures not just that your sins are going to be forgiven, but that you're going to receive, because of his shed blood, a brand new nature, a transformed heart. You're going to be a brand new person. His sacrifice frees us from the worry of having to obey the old rules and makes us want to serve the living God. Now listen to this next part. I saw this today and it spoke to me. I've never noticed it before. The writer says, "For by the help of the eternal Holy Spirit, Christ willingly gave himself to God to die for our sins, he being perfect without a single sin or a single fault." Here's what I saw. By the help of the eternal Holy Spirit. Do you see how the Holy Spirit, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit were all active in the death of Christ on the cross for us? How did Jesus steel himself to go through with the torture, the mockery, the ridicule, the rejection, the pain, the bleeding, the momentary separation from God's presence as he took on my sins and yours onto himself? How did he do it? Right here we're told, with the help of the eternal Holy Spirit, who strengthened him to go through with it to the end. That blessed me, because, you know, if the Holy Spirit can strengthen Jesus to go all the way to the cross, what can he not strengthen you and I to do that is part of the will of God? Amen? Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God that he gave his Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And when you and I are faced with a great trial, the same Holy Spirit that strengthened Jesus to go all the way to the cross can strengthen you and I to do the will of God. It says in verse 15, Hebrews chapter 9, Christ came with this new agreement, and again, a better word is covenant. He came with this new covenant so that all who are invited may come and have forever all the wonders God has promised them. For Christ died to rescue them from the penalty of the sins they had committed while still under that old system. He's talking to the Jewish people of his day now, but by default, all of us. That when Jesus died and spilled his blood, it covered all of our sins, particularly and only when you place your faith in him. Notice in the first verse how the writer says the blood of the bulls and goats could cleanse the flesh. But that blood fell short in being able to cleanse the conscience from the guilt of sin. You see, nothing can take away the guilt of sin but the better blood, the blood of Jesus. The blood of Christ, says the writer, can alone cleanse our conscience from guilt. See, the blood of Christ went further than the blood of bulls and goats, which could not cleanse your conscience. You know what a joy it is to wake up in the morning and know that your sins are washed away. The things you did and thought and said, the attitudes that you carried that were wrong, the sinful actions we've all been involved in, lying, stealing, sexual sins, you name it, the sins of mankind, so common to us all, to wake up and know that it's washed away, and nothing else can do that. In the old covenant, the blood of bulls and goats couldn't wash it away. But in the new covenant, the blood of Jesus goes deeper and it's more efficacious. It washes away and removes our sins and the guilt of our sins. God said, "I'm going to remove your guilt as far as the east is from the west. I'm going to throw it into the deepest part of the ocean." As a matter of fact, because of the blood of Jesus, God says, "I'm not even going to remember your sin anymore." God doesn't remember it. Oh, Satan remembers it, and Satan wants to remind us of it. But God says, "Why don't you do what I've done and forget about it, because I've washed it away. I've washed your sin away, and I've removed the guilt." What a glorious thing the blood of Jesus has done for all of us. Thank God for the removal of that tormenting, haunting, stalking guilt.
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind: and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Life Talk.